Barack Obama will be inaugurated tomorrow for his second term as U.S. president. When he first ran in 2008 and won, his campaign motto was "Change we can believe in." Many thought he would not win a second term because normally no incumbent wins during an economic recession on top of many other problems of his first term. But he surprised the political pundits, and that includes the grand old party, the Republican Party. At least that shows that a substantial number of those who voted for him must still believe in the promised change. Nagwagay siya at ipinapakita nito na marami pa rin ang naniniwala sa kanyang ipinangako na pagbabago. We will have to see if he could deliver in his second term. Of course, whatever happens to America that is good for the world, and we want him to succeed. Well, for us, change is not a political motto. As much as a church, we are after change we believe in. And the language of change, when expressed in terms of church mission, is reformation. And late last year, I remind you that I called your attention to this opportunity given to our church to help other churches in the task of reformation. Nagkaroon ng mga pagkakataon para sa ating iglesia na makatulong sa ibang mga iglesia para sa reformasyon. At kayo ay pumayag with your consent. I have made myself available to the churches. You see, not every church is given this opportunity of reforming, to become a reforming influence upon others. Let me remind you, that does not make us superior to other churches. No. But it does entail some requisites of us as a church. And we are looking particularly at two characters that we will need to sustain and cultivate as a reforming church. I call your attention again to our text in 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, the last two verses, verses 20 and 21. 1 Timothy 6, 20 and 21. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. Now, you see the poignancy of Paul's address to Timothy in a way that is not duplicated in any of his 13 letters. Dito lang ang kanyang pamanhik ay binigyan niya ng nakakaantig na pananalita, O Timothy. There's nothing like that in anywhere in addressing a particular individual. And therefore, what we can ascertain is whatever Paul is saying is something important to him. What was the mission of Timothy? Well, Paul sent him to Ephesus as his apostolic representative in order to complete what he started. And on that point, we can say that Timothy was on a mission that we can consider analogous to reforming. Matatawag natin na yung ginagawa ni Timoteo sa Efeso, kung saan isinugo siya ni Pablo upang kumpletohin ang nasimula na, ay maihahambing natin sa pagre-reforma sa isang iglesia kung saan may mga pagtuturo na dapat iwasto, may mga bagay na dapat kumpletohin at gawin at baguhin. In that sense, there is something analogous here to reforming. And this final statement constitutes Paul's reinforcement, last reinforcement of what Timothy is to take care to do. And here I see two graces that Timothy needed to exercise, the same graces that any reformer, be it individual or corporate, individual or church, that any reformer must cultivate: wisdom and passion. We looked at wisdom last week. We said that a reforming church needs to exercise utmost wisdom in the mission of reformation. And I developed that in two directions where we need wisdom. We need wisdom in restraining and wisdom in discerning. Kinakailangan natin ng karunungan sa pagpipigil at karunungan pagdating sa pagkakatalos ng mga aral na umiiral sa anumang iglesia. This afternoon's message is this: a reforming church must draw its passion from the message. Ang iglesyang nagpapabago ay dapat kunin ang kanyang sigasig mula sa mensahe. A reforming church must draw its passion from the message. I want to remind you of what I said about our mission of reformation. I said this is a corporate mission. This is indicated even by Paul's benediction to Timothy when he said, "Grace be with you." The word "you," the pronoun "you," in the best manuscripts is in the plural. So he's not just talking to Timothy individual at that point. He is telling him what he and the church he represents, in this case Ephesus, must need in order to do the things that need to be done in the church. They need grace. And so let me say that this task of reformation is not simply my task. This is not simply my ministry. This is the church's ministry. I may be the one doing the visit, doing the speaking in other churches, but I must remind you that this is our responsibility and ministry. Now, this is true of the graces that we need to cultivate, wisdom, and this is true of the grace that we now address, passion. Passion suggests something that's glowing hot about something. And the question is, from where should we draw this passion? Yung alab ng damdamin, saan natin ito kukunin? Paano natin pag-aalabin ang ating puso sa mga bagay na may kinalaman sa reformasyon? Well, look at the words Paul used. "Guard what was committed to your trust" is how it is translated in the New King James. It is really just a single compound word in Greek. And experts agree that the best single word to translate that Greek word is the word "deposit." And I think that is what you have in the ESV, the deposit. It is a reference to the message, but a message as a deposit from God. You are given the trust for that message. You better watch that message. Ang sinasabi rito, ang mensahe na ibinigay sa iglesia ay dapat nating pakabantayan. We are not to be cold and academic as far as that message is concerned. We need to be passionate about the message that we bear. And if we will sustain that passion drawn from the message, we must believe in three things about this message. First, indispensability. Lubhang pangangailangan. Indispensability. Second is responsibility. May mga gagawin para sa mensahe. And third is accountability. May pananagutan dahil sa mensahe. So these are the three things we must think about the message that should sustain our passion. First of all, indispensability. Concerning this message, Paul has one ringing word to Timothy for him to do. Guard. Guard the message. It is often used in the sense of being under custody, such as a prisoner, which you cannot let escape. Pag binabantayan mo ang isang bilanggo, mananagot ka kapag ang bilanggo ay nakatakas. Sapagkat kung ikaw ang bantay, pananagutan mo yun. And ang punto na sinasabi ni Pablo kay Timoteo, bantayan mo ang mensahe. In our text, it is the need to keep the message from being tampered with that is at issue. What is Paul saying here? We have a message that is indispensable for delivery to the whole world. Meron tayong mensahe na lubhang kailangan na dalhin natin sa sanlibutan. Now, when do we say something is indispensable? Something is indispensable when nothing can take its place. It is unalterable. Kung meron namang pwedeng substitute, you cannot say that it is indispensable. Maring best, pero hindi indispensable. Pag sinabi mo ang isang bagay indispensable, hindi siya pwedeng palitan. Hindi pwedeng ibang brand, kundi yun lamang ang pwede. And that is exactly what the gospel message is. There is nothing that can take its place. There is no other message like the gospel message. It is alone. Another way of underscoring indispensability is to assert that it is a message that is exclusive. Okay, ginagamit natin ang exclusive Ang nasa isip natin ay mga pangmayaman, mga pang-elitista, pag sinabing exclusive club. And so we are missing the point. When we use the word exclusive, it is an adjective of what noun? Exclusion. And what is the verb of exclusion? Exclude. When we say exclusive, we are saying if you are not in that message, if you don't have that message, you are excluded. Kung wala ka ng mensahe, wala sa iyo ang katotohanan ng mensahe, puwera ka. Yan ang sinasabi ng pagiging exclusive. Gusto kong liwanagin yan sa inyo. Kung hindi nasa iyo ang mensahe ng ebanghelyo, anuman ang mayroon kang ibang mga mensahe, maaaring may mga magagandang mensahe kang naririnig at ikinaliligaya ng iyong puso, ngunit kung wala sa iyo ang mensahe ng ebanghelyo, anuman ang meron ka, hindi ka ligtas. At ang pamanawagan sa iyo tuwi-tuwi na ay tanggapin mo ang mensahe ng ebanghelyo na si Jesucristo ang naparitong tagapagligtas, inako ang kasalanan ng mga makasalanan, at ang tanging paraan na siya'y mapasayo ay sampalatayanan mo siya. Iwanan mo ang iyong sariling kabutihan, iwanan mo ang iyong mga relihiyon at mga seremonya, magpasakop ka sa kanya sa pananampalataya. Yan ang ebanghelyo. Kung wala ka niyan, anuman ang mayroon ka, ikaw ay puwera. You are excluded. Now, you and I as Christians, and we as a church, we believe this. We believe that this church, the gospel is exclusive, no other gospel. There is no other name, Peter says in Acts 4:12, that is given under heaven whereby we may be saved. Only the name of Jesus. It was Jesus no less who said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. All these assertions are telling us there is no other way. Therefore, the message is indispensable. It is a must for the world to hear. It is indispensable for every individual to hear. And those who proclaim this exclusive gospel are a rarity in the world. That is why it becomes so indispensable. Now, the one indispensable we have day by day is oxygen. You don't have oxygen in a few minutes, you die. Well, fortunately, oxygen is an abundant element in the Earth's crust and atmosphere. Almost half of all the elements in the Earth's crust and atmosphere is oxygen. So we're not in any danger of lacking oxygen, something very indispensable. But we cannot say that the gospel is of such abundance in the world today. It is a rarity, all the more reason why we need to guard it, why we need to be passionate about it. So I challenge you as a church, I challenge myself as an individual and every individual Christian here, wax passionate over the message and watch the peril of deviation from it. The need for reformation in churches is because many of them no longer hold to its indispensability. Maraming mga iglesia ngayon hindi na naniniwala sa lubos na pangangailangan ng ebanghelyo. O maaaring gumamit sila ng ilang mga paboritong mga tagpo sa ebanghelyo. Maaaring gamitin nila ang Panginoong Hesukristo. Maaaring may mga referensya sila sa biyaya. Subalit hindi nila maingat at buong liwanag na ipinapangaral ang ebanghelyo bilang mensaheng tanging makapagliligtas. And because we have such churches today, there is a call for reformation. Bring them back to a sense of indispensability. Because if this message is indispensable for the world to hear, why would you deviate to politics? Why would you deviate to entertainment? Why would you deviate to more favorite themes today, when the gospel is indispensable? And that's what's happening. Churches are flooded with ideas that suggest it is not necessary for sinners to hear the gospel. I know, I read them. Popular books are circulating, arguing that God can save without explicit faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. And others have fallen into the snare of messages other than the apostolic gospel message. And Paul was clear, Galatians 1:8, though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you any other gospel than that which we, the apostles, have preached unto you, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. There is no other gospel. And so through Reformation mission, we want to knock on churches' doors. We want to quicken preachers' consciences, telling them this is the message that is indispensable. The world must hear it. Your neighbors must hear it. Your friends and loved ones must hear it. It is an indispensable message. That is why Paul waxes passionate to Timothy. Oh, Timothy. And may I borrow it? OGBC, believe in the indispensability of the gospel message. As a reforming church, watch, guard the deposit. It is greater than many concerns that sometimes deviate us. We may have our criticisms, complaints, and peeves. The message is greater than all those. I told you of John Calvin as the epitome of wisdom as far as the Reformation was concerned of the 16th century. If there is one who was the epitome of passion, he would be head and shoulder above all others, Martin Luther. And it is no accident that in the providence of God, he was the one who had to face all the fearsome forces of the Roman Catholic Church at the start of the Reformation. You cannot make a passionate man retreat when he believes in his message. And that's what we need to be. Dear church, we need to believe in the indispensability of our message, wax passionate about it, do not deviate from it. Secondly, responsibility. May mga gagawin, may mga ipinapagawa sa atin. Again, the statement of Paul is guard the deposit. Guard what was committed to your trust. A sense of duty. There must be a sense of duty pertaining to the message. The message is entrusted to the church for its preservation and proclamation. Ipinagkatiwala sa iglesia ang mensahe para ito ay ingatan at ito ay ikalat. Haven't you thought of it? God could have done it all by himself and it would guarantee flawless success, but he did not. Or God could have assigned this mission to the angels and it would have been done sinlessly, but he did not. Instead, he gave it to a group of people called church with their remaining depravities, with all the headaches that results in. Why? He entrusted the message to sinful men and women who formed themselves into churches. Why? There is only one other place where the word deposit occurs in the same sense. It is that which we just sang, 2 Timothy 1:12. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. You see the point? By the gospel, we commit ourselves to him. We become the deposit in the hand of God. And because we trust in the gospel, we are certain that it will be kept, it will be preserved, that salvation. Now, it is for such people who know what it is to be saved by the gospel that God committed that gospel to sinners who have been saved, not to angels who do not know sin, but to sinners like you and me. So that when we proclaim it, we know what we are saying. This is a saving message. It saved my own soul. I have committed myself to him and he will keep me. We are entrusted with the gospel by which gospel we have entrusted to him, the keeping of our souls. Ang may responsibilidad ay ang mga makasalanan na natuklasan ang kaligtasan sa ebanghelyo, kaya sa kanila ay pinagkakatiwala. We now have a law for the disabled, and one man labored zealously for that law to be, for the bill in Congress to be signed into law many years ago. that the so-called Magna Carta for that is able was campaigned hard by the late congressman and journalist Art Borjal. And one thing about Art Borjal, he was a disabled man. No wonder that he pushed hard on the Magna Carta for the disabled, because he knew what it was to be disabled. He knew what was needed by the disabled. And that explains why God committed and trusted the responsibility of guiding the gospel to sinners, not to angels. So my challenge is, let our passion for the message lead to mobilizing all resources for its proclamation. You must keep in your soul the sense of the saving power of the gospel's saving grace. You must keep that sense that you are a sinner saved by grace if you will maintain the passion for the gospel. Passion will not remain in a man who no longer has that sense of wonder that a sinner like him should be reached by the grace of God. It is not given to angels precisely because they have no sense of the gospel saving grace. It is given to sinners because it is sinners saved by grace who tremble at the beauty of the gospel. The question is, do we still tremble? Are we still enthralled at the beauty of the gospel message? Do we still have that deep conviction in the truth and in the power of the deposit, the gospel message? Our belief in the sovereignty of God should not create passivity in the promotion of His word. We are given responsibility. It deserves every effort. It deserves every talent. It deserves every offering. It deserves every ministry for its proclamation. And when we call to other churches, when we call other churches to reformation, again, it is not out of a messianic sense of superiority. We are telling them rather how powerful and how beautiful the message is entrusted to the church. And we cannot bear the thought that churches are turning their back to such a message when it is something soul-saving, because we know we are ourselves souls saved by grace through that message. So let's have the passion. Let's have the sense of responsibility. The reformer forever connected to Scotland was John Knox. For most of his reforming ministry, he was being chased by Mary, the Queen of Scots. And one thing that Mary said was, "I fear more the prayer of John Knox than all the armies of Europe." And one such prayer preserved forever was the one-liner by John Knox, "Give me Scotland or I die." And this is the sort of passion we need. When we have the truth, we pray. We cannot bear the thought that churches are turning their backs to such a message to play with politics, to play with entertainment. Such a message must elicit that sense of responsibility for it. And finally, accountability may pananagutan. The idea of being entrusted suggests that there is an accountability to the one entrusting. And this speaks of stewardship. Our stewardship of the message is ultimately accountable to God. It is just like when we make a deposit into a bank. We've seen recent bank closures and we see crying depositors because hindi sila napagkatiwalaan. What is expected of a steward is clear in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. It is not required of our stewardship that we become politically powerful, to become numerically a mega church, all that is required of stewardship is faithfulness. And to be faithful means a sense of accountability to God who entrusted it to us. So why are we doing this? Why are we so passionate about this? Again, not because we sense superiority over others, but because we're accountable to God. God will require it of us. A few days ago, champion cyclist but disgraced Lance Armstrong came out in public and finally admitted his substance cheating. And all his 7 consecutive cycling championships, which led to a biographer writing his biography with the title The Greatest Athlete, were all by cheating. And he could do that because he has no sense of accountability. I mean, he bought some of those in the know among those who had oversight. Wala siyang pananagutan. Kaya dinaya niya yung cycling world. And we don't want that. We have an accountability. Therefore, what it calls upon us is we go back to the one to whom we are accountable and plead with him to pour out his blessing upon the message that we bear. Spread out to God passionately the fruitfulness of the message. Since we answer to God, let God answer for the effectiveness of his word. We cannot make it effective by ourselves. We spread it out in prayer. We can only have the confidence and passion in prayer in the conviction that we answer to him. And so this second letter of Paul to Timothy, when he was charging him about the message, this is what he told him. 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. It is in the light of that judgment that we would not be seasonal proclaimers of the word, that we would not just be ready to proclaim when people like us or we find popular hearing. We will plead with our fellow churches that still profess the gospel to be true to the word. And it takes God to reform them, not us. It would have been a lot more convenient to just mind my own church without the other churches. I know a very little of those words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 11:28. Apart from other things, there is daily pressure on me of my concern for the churches. When I minister to students who represent many churches, I know a little of this. But why should we go on? Why would we not retreat to the convenience of just minding our own church? Why mind the problems of others? Because the message would not keep itself quiet within the premises of our church. And to think of it, there is no dearth, there is no lack of passionate promoters of error. I see them every day. They are well organized and well funded. What can we do in the face of these many well-organized, well-funded, well-motivated promoters of error? Well, I pleaded with God, give me a passionate church under your blessing, for we answer to you for the message. So to be a reforming church, we will be demanded of requisites, not demanded of other churches. And let us mortify anything that will beset us in that quest to be a reforming church. Let us mortify any selfish occupation with complaints and censures and faults that hinder the message. Let us be passionate about this deposit. Guard it. When John Calvin was dying on his deathbed, he had his last will prepared, and that last will is peppered with references to his sense of accountability to God? Or do you think that makes him, as some have accused, an austere, unhappy man? Not at all. That last will is full of references to joy. It was a joy to serve God. Because of his sense of accountability to God, he was liberated from the fear of man. And that's what we need to be as a church. There are thrilling opportunities of reformation, and there is a very thrilling message. Therefore, O GBC, guard the deposit. And let us indeed pray that the Lord this year will shower us with blessing. Let's close in prayer. O dakila naming Diyos, ipinapanalangin namin ang aming tungkuling na iatang sa aming balikat bilang iglesia na maging iglesyang tagapagbago. Panalangin namin, Panginoon, na iunat mo ang iyong mahabaging kamay sa amin upang sa aming mahinang balikat ay magbigay ka ng lahat ng biyaya na kailangan namin upang matugunan namin ang panawagan ng reformasyon. And as we have heard, the need for passion when it comes to the mission to reform, may we draw our passion from the message. We believe that this message is indispensable. Nothing can take its place. It is the only saving message that will minister to sinners today in their spiritual misery. So help us, Lord, to hold to this, to believe this, and therefore to wax passionate over this message. Watch the peril of deviation from it, for nothing can take the place of the message of the gospel, not politics, not entertainment, not mere happiness, but it is the only gospel that is saving to the soul. So help us to be passionate about it. Help us to refresh and rekindle our sense of responsibility. You have entrusted the gospel not to angels who can do the mission sinlessly, but you have entrusted it to sinners who know the power of the gospel to save. So help that we may maintain and continue to cultivate that sense of wonder at the glorious saving power of the message of the gospel. And let our passion for the message lead us to mobilize all resources for the proclamation of the message, and keep in us that sense of accountability, that we are stewards of the message, ultimately accountable to you. And therefore, the scare tactics or the attraction of popularity should have no bearing upon us, but that we would proclaim the message in season and out of season. So we spread this out to you, O God, that you may bless the mission to reform churches. We see the multitude of passionate promoters of error, and those who passionately promote the truth are a rarity. But make this church a passionate missionary for reformation, and may every grace accompany us in this desire to minister to churches. And may you hear our prayers, and may you make this year truly a year that will bear fruit for the message. And may it delight you that this year we will achieve the task of reformation, and in your pleasure may we serve for kingdom glory. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.